Recently, the Lord has put on my heart Romans 14:17. Really talking about the kingdom, right? That's our purpose in being here. And I really wanted to know, Lord, what is the kingdom? And so Romans 14:17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit."
Amen.
Amen. And as we read this morning, and we just read right now, Hebrews 5, verse 12 and 13, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." And the Lord had really shown me that if we really desire for the Father's kingdom to come to this earth, we can no longer be the babes, because then we'd be unskilled in this righteousness. That's not part of the kingdom. We need this righteousness from the Lord in the Holy Spirit to bring the Father's kingdom onto this earth. And if we're unskilled in these areas, how can we be useful for the kingdom? So it's really good to see that this solid food really allows us to gain this righteousness, to be skilled in His righteousness. Amen. And then also I was reminded of Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. It says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus."
Amen.
And then it says, "Therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this mind.
Amen.
And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you."
Amen.
And so this next step of maturity, even in my own life, I've had, the Lord has brought me through a situation where I've really had to forget those things which are behind in order to press towards the goal. And I really praise the Lord that He gives us the strength to do so. That even if there's good memories or bad memories, we have to press on towards the goal.
Amen.
We cannot let them inhibit us
Amen.
From bringing the Father's kingdom onto this earth. So
Amen.
I praise the Lord for this, and may we all reach this level of maturity.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have such a wonderful high priest,
yes.
And he wants to bring us to this goal. I was looking at the chart again during the young people's meeting. And our high priest wants to make us all first fruits. And he wants to bring us to the heavenly Mount Zion so that we could be counted those who are faithful, so that we could be brought into his millennial kingdom, into the wedding feast. And I was reminded because I've been having recently, in the past weeks, been having morning watch with a couple of brothers. And it's been really good. But then sometimes I've started to notice that sometimes our prayers tend to be, you know, we're praying for a certain situation and we're praying to the Lord for a solution for the situation. But then what I realized is, just like in Hebrews 5, verse 8, "Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered." And sometimes these situations are really arranged by the Lord to perfect us.
Yeah.
And so what even our prayer should be that, Lord, in this situation, perfect us.
Mm-hmm.
And not just give us a solution. Because the Lord is sitting on the throne, not so much that he can give a solution for all the problems that may come up in the church or that may be in our daily living, but it is really for our perfecting, that
mm-hmm.
we may also be partakers of his sufferings.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really my prayer that the Lord would reveal this to us, that in our daily living we would truly have the desire to be partakers of his sufferings
mm-hmm.
and be perfected so he can bring us to this goal.
Amen.
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 I was really, this word here in Hebrews 5 is speaking to me again. I've known this before, but it's really You know, it's really speaking. This phrase here, it says here in verse 14, it says, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
Amen.
And we talk about maturity and reaching the goal, but one of the key indicators of your maturity, our maturity, is our discernment, the ability to discern good and evil. If we cannot discern, then we're not mature. This is really critical, because in these days we're seeing there's so much evil, especially before the Lord is coming back. And we've seen people fall away and drift away, just like we're talking about. And, you know, if we don't have this discernment, then we're really in trouble. There's so many things out there that are bombarding us, and doctrines and all sorts of things, relationships with people. If we don't have this, if we're not exercised to discern, then we might be carried away as well. And I realize that we have a very strange understanding of what maturity is sometimes. You know, we might look at a brother or sister and see, oh yeah, she comes, he or she comes to all the meetings, you know, spends so much time in the Word and is doing so many works and all sorts of things. But then when something comes into the church, they're drawn away. They're just carried away, right? You know, this shows that there really was a lack of maturity. I'm not saying that this is not important, right, that coming to the Word and going to meetings, but it really shows that we need to exercise this discernment, right? In so many areas of our life, there are so many areas where we have to make decisions and determine whether this is really of the Lord, whether it's really of the Spirit, whether it's really according to the truth. And we have to make those choices. Otherwise, when something big comes, we'll be drawn away as well. You know, and I really believe that every one of us will be tested in some way, whether we'll be faithful to the truth. Yeah, and you know, we're already seeing this happening in so many places, right, to see how faithful we are to the truth. And, you know, if we cannot discern, we can't tell the difference, we're just judging with our human eyes, then we'll be carried away. You know, maybe we honor or respect a certain person, and we just listen to whatever they say. You know, what if that person goes astray? We'll be carried along too, because we haven't discerned. We're so trusting of what that person says or what these people say. We haven't had a real sense of what the Spirit is saying to us, right? We'll just follow blindly with the crowd, right? So, yeah, this requires a lot of exercise and training and diligence. Yeah. So the Lord has to make it clear to us what this really means.
Amen.
Otherwise, you know, next year, who knows how many will still be here in this conference, right? Yeah. This year, how many do we have?
90.
Maybe next year? I don't know. Maybe we're down to 60, because some of us have been drawn away, right? It shouldn't be this way. But yeah, we have to, this is so important. Otherwise, you know, then we can't even continue, because this is inserted in here to give us a warning, right?
Amen.
Amen.
Let's have some prayer.
You appear to us again in this meeting.
Amen.
Oh Lord, open your word to us.
Yes.
Speak to us by your Spirit.
Amen.
Yes, Lord, to give us all a spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Amen.
We want to know from you, Lord.
Amen.
You are speaking, Lord.
Amen.
Give us ears to hear tonight, Lord.
Amen.
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 Yes. We pray that your Holy Spirit will work within all of us.
Amen.
Without your working, without the teaching of your anointing, nothing is going to happen with us. Especially concerning heavenly matters, Amen. Spiritual things, concerning your divine purpose,
Amen.
Concerning your word. Without your enlightening, without the Holy Spirit speaking, leading, teaching us, we confess to you, Lord, there's nothing we can do.
Amen.
We'd like to open our hearts to you once again. And we pray you will have mercy on all of us.
Amen.
And we pray that every one of us will be preserved.
Amen.
And to go on. To perfection with you.
Amen.
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 Do help us.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Yeah. Well, time flies, right? But I really praise the Lord for all the brothers sharing together the burden in this wonderful book. And may the Lord write it in our hearts. Hebrews, this book is very special. Very, very special. And remember, it's talking about the main thing, the focus, which is very important to us today. And one of the emphases in this book is to encourage us to go on. obviously, the majority of the Christians, they don't want to go on. For many reasons. And one of the reasons is that they were kept in dark concerning God's purpose and planned and through the whole system of traditional Christianity. Right. In many places, well, we just came from Korea, South Korea, not too long ago. We were there in October of, just last October. There was a group of Christians who, for many, many years, they were in a group called Salvation Group. Yeah. And they just dwell in the matter of salvation and salvation, believing, having faith in God, and you'll be saved, and no more problem with you, and preaching the gospel, go out and tell people more about salvation. And these people have been there for many years. And finally they woke up. To make the long story short, they came out and not knowing what to do next. After being a Christian for almost close to 15 to 20 years, can you imagine that? And all they know is salvation, that the Lord Jesus Christ died for you. And they were even taught that they're going to lose their salvation. So they're all holding fast of salvation. They have never heard about life. They have never heard about the indwelling Christ and the growth in life and so many wonderful things in the scriptures. So by the Lord's mercy, we were brought together there. And for many years now, I have not met a group of people who are so hungry. Really very hungry. And it was a real pleasure to fellowship with them. Because they were just like a piece of sponge that just, you know, absorbed everything that we said, and they wouldn't let us go. Yeah, it was really wonderful to meet them and to see that people could be so hungry for the living Word of God. But the Scripture tells us there's so many of God's people who were not seeking to really go on because they were distracted by this system, tradition, and theological teaching, and laying this just foundation. And so it is very difficult. And, of course, right from the beginning, the writer of Hebrews warned us, beginning in chapter 3, that we have to listen to the Holy Spirit speaking. I think many of us believers have never learned to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And if we don't listen, then we could not enter into the rest. Right? We will not enter into the goal of what God has prepared for us. And the writer used the people of Israel coming out of Egypt and for 40 years as going around in circles in the wilderness. And finally, that generation that came out of Egypt, they all died in the wilderness, not entering into the good land, not entering into the Sabbath rest prepared by God for them. And that eventually became a warning right here. Right, and of course, today, in our situation, you can really see so many groups of believers have not gone on. They were stuck somewhere or just going around in circles for years and years. Even among ourselves, in the past 40, 50 years of history, you can realize that we are so easily satisfied with just a little bit more of experience. Can you imagine the project of building a tall building? Let's just say it was 10 floors. Okay. Of course, you start with a foundation. And maybe the foundation was laid and you have built up to the first floor, at least the ground floor. Are you satisfied with that? Okay, maybe some are better. They continue to build on the second floor. Is it good enough? No, because the goal is to build and finish the building up to the 10th floor. Right. So you really need to see that God has a wonderful plan. And it's not so simple. And I have heard people saying, oh, it's very easy. Don't have to do anything. Right? It's very simple. Whole message just telling people, I don't know how many times, it's very simple, don't worry, it's very easy. Oh yeah, you don't have to do anything, just trust in God. Just trust in God. Have faith in God. Don't have to do anything. How about that, George? Why not? Right. How about Timo? Where is Timo? Yeah, Timo. When you were a baby or 2nd year, 3rd year, 3 years old, 4 years old. Yeah, if I tell you, just trust in your dad, okay? Right. That was right, right? How about today? Oh, you don't have to do anything. Just trust in your dad. Why, you became so complicated, huh? Just trust in your dad and your mom there. Just trust in them. Don't do anything. You don't have to do anything. Life is so easy and simple. When you were 3, 4, 5 years old, yeah. But for me to tell you today, don't worry. You don't even have to look for a job. Just trust in your dad. Would you be happy you have such a trusting son? You think God is happier? No, it depends on your maturity. So if you're just stuck there right in the beginning and sorry, you cannot make it. And it's not only that you won't be able to make it, but there is a very serious judgment. Serious judgment. Don't think God is going to let you go. No. So, this book is a book helping us to go on. Do not stop until you reach the goal. And as long as the Lord has not come back yet, that means you have not reached the goal yet. And remember, you don't have that much time. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. You don't have that much time. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen to me tomorrow. I may not even be here. Not because I drifted away. But I might not be alive tomorrow. Who knows? So I have to do my best to take every opportunity to gain the Lord. Amen. Because I don't know how much time I have to reach the goal. Yeah. Right. I never expected that my beloved brother-in-law would go so quickly. In fact, I was expecting to see him here. Right? Wasn't that your plan? Even the ticket was already prepared and bought. We were expecting him to be here. But now he's gone. Nobody knows. You don't know how long you're going to live. That's why the Lord gave that parable of concerning the rich man who, I'm going to build this barn and bigger and, right? To store all my riches there and all the produce, blah, blah, blah. The Lord, what did the Lord say? You fool. You fool, because you don't know what's going to happen to you tomorrow. And when you die, who is going to inherit these things? What do you have then? Right. So, be wise. We have to be wise. And I'm sharing this because I've seen so many people whom I really knew in the last 40, 50 years drifted away and stop growing. And not only did they stop growing, they fell back. And today I don't even know where they are. So, it is a real problem. Don't think that it is not a real problem. It was a real problem for the Jews in those days. Right? And then even after those generations who went into the good land and entered into the rest with Joshua, they did not take heed of God's word. So they didn't care about God's plan and they started just to care for themselves. And finally, they even lost the good land. And all got carried away to Babylon. That's another warning for all of us. And, so, it's very important. Don't take this as a teaching. Just some knowledge. No, because it can very well happen to any one of us. If we don't take heed. That is why the song that we sang right in the very beginning, which is Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 to 11. The first point in the beginning of the Lord's ministry was, blessed are the poor in spirit. Poor in spirit. Doesn't mean you have a poor spirit. But it means that you have a hungry spirit. Willing to receive. Just like those in Korea. They were so hungry. Others than those who thought they knew everything. They had no more space there. You know, if you are filled with junk food in your stomach and you just had, I don't know, 2 hamburgers and 3 sodas and, I don't know what else, and 2 bars of chocolate and you fill your stomach with all of this food and somebody came with the best and most wonderful food for you to eat. Can you still eat? No. You have no more appetite for that. No more appetite because you are filled. And this happened to the Jews when the Lord came to this earth the first time. They were filled with their tradition, position, right? They are satisfied with what they had. The theology, the practices, they were filled with all those things. So when the Lord himself came to them, they rejected him because they had no more appetite. They thought, we got everything. What is this man here doing? And they couldn't accept him. There was absolutely no space within their heart. That's why the Lord says your heart has waxed fat. Right? You're filled with so many things in your heart. They have no more room to receive this wonderful Messiah. So we really need to be warned. It is a warning. a warning. Right? And we know, of course, of this group there, the LSM. Their leaders thought and said, he has already seen everything that needs to be seen in the Bible. Wow. He must be God. So they say there's nothing more to be seen in the Bible. Wow. I thought Paul talks about the unsearchable riches. But the unsearchable riches were searched out by this whoever this man was. And so poor group of thousands of believers, they all believe that they've seen everything and all they need is to repeat again and again and again and again the writings of this man. And you are not even allowed to say anything else than what was said there. They got stuck. And since then, it must be almost 30 years now, they have been just going around in the wilderness of sin. Until this very day, they couldn't get out of that circle. You want to be like that? And I have many, many friends who are trapped in that circle. What can I say to you? I don't want to just get into the doctrine here, but I've seen this too many examples. And don't ever think it will not happen to you or to me. Right. If we do not take heed of the warning and have a condition of being poor in the spirit, and hunger and thirst for righteousness, and having a pure and seeking heart, a desire to see the living God, right? Then you get stuck. But then the Lord tells you that if you're like that, you'll be persecuted, especially by those who are stuck. This is the whole history of Christianity. Those who want to go on is always persecuted by those who wanted to stay there. So if you wanted to go on, those who want to stay will give you a hard time. But the Lord is going on. What are you going to do if the Lamb went on there? You going to stay? You follow the Lamb wherever he goes. You think the Lamb has no more places to go? Oh, he has a lot of places to go. But he had a particular place to go. And he's leading you there. But if you stop, you won't be able to reach the goal. That is why for a few years now, I've been stressing Revelation chapter 14. Verses 1 to 5, concerning those who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Don't expect the Lamb to stay in one place. That's why we don't have a continuing city. Why? Because you cannot stop. You stop. And we want to stop. We don't want to go on. And if you stop and you stay there, you're going to have a problem. And others who want to go on will also have a problem because you're going to hinder them from going on. And you have a thousand reasons why you want to stop them from going on. We have to follow the Lamb all the way until we reach the throne in the heavens. To be raptured is not just, I believe I'm going to be raptured. I believe I'm going to be raptured. I have faith in God. He's going to rapture me. I'm sure. I believe, because Pastor so-and-so told me. You think you just sit down and believe you'll be raptured? No, you're not going to be raptured unless you mature. Now, let's take a look at Galatians chapter 4, right? At the end of chapter 3, it says we become heirs according to promise. Chapter 3, verse 29, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Wow, wonderful. Are you an heir, George?
Amen.
Oh, so no problem. You're going to receive the inheritance now, right? What? Well, then what are you an heir for? No, why you have to go on? There's a period there. And God promised to you. You think God's going to lie to you? Why chapter 4? Chapter 3 is good enough.
No.
No? We have to go on?
Yes.
Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is the master of all. This is the problem. There is a condition. There is a condition. And what is that? That you have to mature in life. You have to go on and reach perfection. Right. And let me tell you, this spiritual, heavenly perfection is much more difficult than our human maturity. Yeah, because it is a higher form of life. It's more difficult. Yeah. In this world, if you reach the age of 18, you are an adult. How many years have you been a Christian, George? 60-some, right? So you must be, 50. So you must be a mature Christian. Perfect. Are you perfected? All of us will have to say, no, not yet. Even Paul, he dare not say he was already mature and he has attained until the very end when the Lord told him, okay, now, come. Then he could say, I have run the race, finish it for a good fight. Yeah. And he could say, now a crown is waiting for me. He could say that then, but not in Philippians chapter 3. Right. So I hope it'll be written in your heart never to stop pursuing the Lord until you reach the goal. Because if you do, if you stop, even though you're very close to the goal, it is not good enough. just isn't good enough. And don't appreciate so much just the good beginning. Remember what the Lord says. The first shall be the last. Don't boast that you have been the first. I started this work 40 years ago, and you may have a good start. But what about a good end? Right? Which brother gave a testimony? It's not how well you started, but it is how you end it. The end is more important than the beginning. And this is why the Lord is Alpha, and He's also the Omega. He is the beginning, and He must also be the end. And He is the author, and He is also the finisher. You experience the Lord as the author, but you didn't finish with Him. Just like the Galatians, they started in the Spirit, and they wanted to be perfected in the flesh, and that is not good. Right. And this is why this warning for us is so important. So important. Right. And then concerning this great high priest, the writer says, of whom we have much to say. How much do we have to say about this great high priest? Okay, how much did you experience this great high priest? How well do you know him? How often have you come to him, to the throne of grace? How often? Like what in chapter 4, verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. It's a throne. A throne of grace there. Right. It's really amazing. The Bible is very amazing. For us, it is a throne. Because the one who is there was sitting on the throne. It is the throne. But it's a throne of grace. Then why you have to come boldly? Because you're coming to the throne. If you appear before the president, won't you be nervous? You'll be nervous, right? Suppose you're invited by Obama. Of course, it's Obama. But nevertheless, if you appear there in Washington, D.C., in the White House, I don't think you'll feel very confident. Right? But what about appearing before the throne? But we appear there not to be judged by him, but to receive help from him.
Amen.
But nevertheless, you are appearing before this glorious, holy, righteous King there, sitting there. So in a sense, it is not that easy to appear to him. There's always a fear within our heart to appear before the throne. I don't know about you, but definitely. But the encouragement is, come with boldness. And now with boldness does not mean that you have no fear anymore. But in spite of the fear, You come because you really need his help. You have no choice. Where else are you going to go? It's not easy, never easy to appear before the Holy God. So righteous. Because we are still unrighteous. Because there's still so much problem, man, so much flesh. And that's why many times we don't have confidence. No boldness. Not because he's so fierce, but because I'm so imperfect. And because many of the problems, it's because my fault. If it is not my fault, maybe I'll come with boldness. Lord, look at him. But if it's my fault, I come to the throne of grace. Who am I going to point fingers at? Right. Then you have to know this wonderful, great high priest. Remember, he is, according to Melchizedek, he is a king of righteousness. And me, an unrighteous man appearing before the king of righteousness, do you think I have the boldness? No one has the boldness. But praise the Lord, you have to see such a great high priest. And it's good to see that this great high priest is perfect. Because that will encourage you. Right. But on the other hand, you have to realize you are very imperfect. We need to approach to receive grace in time, help in time of need. What is your need? Tell me what is your need. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, not a good job or something like that. You know, you don't need to come to the throne of grace for a good job, okay? Yeah, you just have to work hard to make good grades and present your resume. It's okay. Yeah, I'm not against praying for a good job, please. You know, but that's not what that throne of grace is for. You need help to fulfill God's purpose. Amen. You need help to be sanctified, to become righteous, to be perfected. Right? You need his humanity. Really. And that's why all these offerings are so important. You need his help. To be a man that is fully for the fulfillment of God's will and purpose. You need help to live a life that is well-pleasing to him. You need encouragement to go on. You need to be freed from death, from sin, from the world, from all kinds of bondage. That's what we need. And the older you are, the more you realize that's what I need, Lord. I need to be changed. Amen. I need to be transformed. I need to make it to the kingdom. I need to be the first fruits. I need to maturity. How am I going to make it, Lord, without your help? You cannot make it without his help. This is why we need that throne of grace. Right. In the old covenant days, that throne of grace no one could touch. Because it is, well, God's glory. Well, you have his holiness there. Right. And within that box called the ark, what do you have there? You have the commandments, the two tablets of stones there. with a lot of requirement for you. Yeah. So how are you going to approach it? Are you qualified? No. No, no. But today, because of our Lord Jesus Christ, what He has accomplished, Romans chapter 3 tells us now, He is that propitiation cover. His throne now became the throne of grace to help you. Not to condemn you. But the fact that He's not going to condemn you doesn't make you so free and do anything you like. No. No. And His help is to perfect you, to perfect all of us. If you don't go to Him, you'll never be perfected. There's no way for us to be perfected. It's not listening to so many messages that will perfect you. It's coming to Him. And if you go to Hebrews chapter 10, come boldly into the Holy of Holies to meet Him. Right. I have absolutely no confidence in just having some even right knowledge of the Bible, because I have seen people who know so much about the Bible and there was no result. The result was death. Pride. The flesh, the self. And at the end, everything is just they. They are everything. No, it is sad. It is really sad. And it became a warning to us. That is why this warning is very important. There's still much more for us to know concerning this Melchizedek, concerning this great high priest. You have to know him in detail. And many times we know, if people ask you to talk about it, you're tongue-tied, you have nothing to say. Because you just know in a general way. If you just know him in a general way, you don't know him in details. How can you experience him, right? And then, hard to explain. Let us read what Peter said. 2 Peter, the last chapter. Yeah. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 14, Peter talks about the Apostle Paul. Therefore, beloved, he really loves the saints. He called the saints beloved. I hope we all learn to love one another in reality, in Christ. Looking forward to these things, meaning the coming of the Lord Jesus with all the judgment and punishment. Of course, also with the reward. Be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Wow. You think you can appear to the Lord as you are, full of spots. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. That means the Lord is so patient, waiting for us to be perfected. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of the things in which some things are what? What? Really? Oh, no, it's so easy. I'm hearing brothers saying to the saints, oh, no, don't worry, everything is so easy. It's so easy. So easy. Simple. You believe that? Oh, Peter didn't say that, right? In which some things are hard to understand. And Hebrews tells us hard to explain. And if it's really hard to explain, it must be also hard to understand. And then it says, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, well, it's good to know beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. It is really wicked to twist God's word and to mislead the saints and to bring them to destruction. We all need to have the fear of the Lord not to do this and not to mislead others. It's a big responsibility one day when the Lord says, you workers of iniquity. He's not talking about unbelievers. The word of God is not to be taken lightly. Don't talk nonsense concerning God's word. Don't joke about it. Especially when we are here in this wonderful, serious warning of the Lord. Right? And Peter said the same thing. Grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I heard some people say, that's just knowledge. We don't need to know. Melchizedek. We don't need to know. We don't need anyone to explain to us and to explain all these things to us. Well, okay, that's fine. But at least you need the Holy Spirit to explain to you, right? That is, if you hear his voice. But grow in grace. You need to grow in grace. But the problem is you have become dull of hearing. You know, and this is the work of the enemy of God. You have 2 ears, right? Your treasury ears. Do you? You don't treasure your ears. You better treasure your ears. And how do you treasure it? By listening to classical music? Well, some kind of a hard rock music. By hearing gossip. You know, if you love to hear gossip and lies, you don't treasure your ears because you're receiving junk. You learn to treasure your 2 ears by listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, amen, not lies. Yes. What you hear is going to destroy you or build you up. To become dull of hearing, that means you're insensitive now. You have no more ears to hear the speaking of the Holy Spirit. And then, once you have no more ears to listen, that's when you go downhill. And this is what the enemy wants to distract you. The first thing the enemy wants to distract you is the ears. That is why he is called the father of lies. How did the serpent tempt Eve? By what? By the lies. Did God say, is it true? No, that's not true. You shall not surely die. And if you continue to listen, you just start to listen the first sentence, you're in trouble, especially if you answer back. Then his second sentence comes in. And then the third. And you're through. That liar has been practicing his profession of speaking lies for over 6,000 years. At least from what we know. Before that is even longer, right? He is a professional liar. No wonder our brother was sharing this morning, what you need is a discernment. I appreciate the sharing this morning. Discernment. But you cannot teach people to discern. How can you teach people to discern? Our brother Christian, teach Antipas how to discern, okay? Huh?
Try my best.
Keep trying. When he is a baby, how can he discern? You can do your best. You can be the best psychologist and have 3 PhDs. You cannot teach a 1-year-old boy to discern. He said, yeah. Then somebody came with a piece of candy, you're gone, your son is gone. Discernment cannot be taught. Discernment requires maturity and experience, training, to become skillful, exercise, practice, like our brother shared this morning. If you don't do that, boy, I tell you, it doesn't take much to lead you astray. Right? That's why it says there, you're led astray. To those who are led astray. Verse 2, chapter 5. A great high priest, or a high priest, or every high priest. He's talking about Aaron and his sons, and subsequently all the high priests must have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray. Listen. If you're not ignorant, it's hard to go astray, okay? You can only fool those who are ignorant. That's right. When I try to fool the Muchang, you think I'll succeed? I don't think so. You just have to look at my face, you'll know you're not speaking the truth. You cannot fool. But Rebecca, 3 years old. Wow, I just love to fool her. Why? Because she is easily fooled and fall into the trap and ended up in my laps. So easy. Sometimes, right? especially if the mother and father is not there. Oh, that's so easy. So if you're ignorant, you don't know the truth, you're not in the spirit, oh my goodness, you are susceptible, very susceptible. Just a few words and a few smiles and a few tears and drops and oh, you know, I felt so, oh, so terrible. Look what George did to me. Immediately, Brother Chan's heart will melt. Oh, that terrible George. Yeah. It's very easy. It's very easy. Right. So, may the Lord really have mercy on us. And you need maturity to discern. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the spiritual man discerns all things. Discerns all things. Yet he himself, you cannot discern him because he's in the spirit. You know, some people may think, well, don't worry about me, I know people. I know people. Well, especially if you have a PhD, a 2 PhD, and I don't know what degree. I don't care what degree it is. Yeah. Maybe in psychology, majoring in anthropology, and knowing people just by the look. You're fooling yourself. You can only know the outside of the people, even a little bit about the inside, okay? But what is in the heart, hidden there, only God knows. And to a certain extent, the spiritual man will know. Yeah. You don't have to tell him too much, he will know. Maybe not in the depths, but yep, it's not easy to fool. So in order to really take heed of the warning, it is not just, okay, I got it, I'm going to be careful. Even if you are so careful, you have not learned and practiced being the Spirit in your daily living. You have not heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. And you never take heed of your conscience telling you. Right? And if you don't even listen to your own conscience, then you will not be qualified to listen to the speaking of the Holy Spirit, because the book of Romans tells us in chapter 9, I believe, that the Spirit bear witness, the Holy Spirit bear witness with our conscience. Yeah. That's why, no wonder, Paul said in the book of Acts, he exercised himself to have a good conscience toward God and toward man. So if a brother has a good conscience, it's not easy for you to fool him, because somehow the Spirit will give the conscience a sense that's not right. Just like if you did something wrong, you think, oh, it's a happy world. So I'm okay. You know, when you're sleeping, the conscience will tell you, no, you're not okay. Go and return it. Well. So, to have a discernment is not just to know the Bible. Because a professional liar with the hypocritical ways. Even if he uses the Bible, you'll be fooled. Don't think Satan doesn't use the Bible. So, anyway, may the Lord have mercy on all of us to have a desire to grow, desire to walk and live by the Spirit, desire for the truth, desire to be righteous and correct, and not to just listen to anything. And when you hear something, put it aside and ask the Lord. Because the Lord is a discerner. In chapter 4, right? Concerning the word in verse 12 and 13. Right? Verse 12 said, the word of God will pierce through, dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. And is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. No one else could know what is in your heart. I don't know what you're thinking right now, do you? But, hey, Psalm 139, God is a discerner. He is the only one who can search the hearts of men. And he knows your thought miles away. And he knows what you're going to say before you say it. And you have no chance to change what you're going to say. Even if you try to change, he knows what you're going to change. Who are you trying to fool? You know? This is why it's so foolish to lie and to fool people. Yes, you can fool me, but do you think you can fool him? Then why fool me if you know you cannot fool him, because he knows all things and you will get in trouble with him? Right? So, concerning the matter of discerning and maturity and going on, so many factors are involved. If I am not a person who loves the truth and who practice righteousness, like the Lord said and what we sang, having a hunger and thirst for righteousness, then I'm really very prone to believing lies. And But I like to exercise and practice and not to hear people talking about other people. I always say, stop. Don't talk about other people. Maybe some of you may think, oh, Johnny, you're so naive. You know, you better know something. You think I don't know. Just because I say, I don't want to hear that. Don't talk about it. I'm trying to help you, not to gossip. Amen. It's not that I'm trying to be naive and not wanting to know. But on one hand, I'm exercising. Nope, I don't want to hear nonsense. Right. But on the other hand, I want to help others. Don't talk nonsense. Why not talk about things that will build up yourself and others? If you love to gossip, then you will not really grasp the truth and hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Right. So, that chapter 6, here, encouraging us to go on to perfection. It is by the Word of God, the living and abiding Word of God. Because the Word talking about the word, elementary principle of Christ that has gone to maturity, to solid food. It refers to this pure, living, powerful, operative, sharp two-edged sword. Right? That kind of a word will help us and bring us on to maturity. But if we are dull of hearing, even now, why, this book here is so thick, it's useless to know. Daniel, what's Daniel? Forget about Daniel. You cannot preach the gospel with the book of Daniel. Well, at least Nebuchadnezzar believed in God. You try to preach to Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah, try it. I'm sorry, he's not here. You say it is easy? It's not easy. But Daniel did it. So you better know how to preach the gospel. Learn from Daniel. All things that are written in this book of life is for you to know, not just as knowledge, but for you to know this wonderful God. To know His mysteries. To know what is hidden in His heart. Not for you to have a big head. And don't try to just say, oh, that's just book of knowledge, tree of knowledge. No, oh, why tree of knowledge? You mean to say this whole book is just tree of knowledge? Paul says some scriptures are inspired. No? Some, only some. What? All in the New Testament. All except.
No exception.
So who are you going to listen to? Lies? Men's word? Or God's word? All scriptures is God's breath, inspired by God. All prophecy didn't come from men, but holy men, right, spoke, carried by the Holy Spirit. That's why you cannot have your own interpretation. So, all scriptures, we need entire scripture. Have you ever prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, before I go, I want to go through every verse and know what you're talking about? Yeah. Because there's so much to know. Don't think everything is already here, in this portion here. From Matthew to here, you think it's here. This is everything. But this is everything. This looks more like everything. So if you just know this, you're just knowing one-fourth of the Bible. And if you don't know the other part, there's a lot of things you don't know. Yeah. So let's learn to treasure the living and abiding, powerful, effective Word of God.
Amen.
In a living way. The Word of God is very important. His speaking is very important. The living speaking. Not dead messages and just some kind of a theological explanation. But you need to break through and touch the living God. Right? That will help us to mature in life. May the Lord have mercy on us.
Amen.
Okay. Amen.
Amen.